Our dearest Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for the ability to gather together today and study your word. And we know, Lord, that through our belief in you and our understanding of the word, that we may have everlasting life with you in the heavenlies. And we thank you so much for that. And we ask that you be with Pete this morning as he gives a lesson in us as we hear it. And we pray all this in Christ's name. Amen.
1 Corinthians chapter 2, hear now the word of our Lord. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor are the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, I had not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us as by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man, which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Amen.
I want to talk to you this morning about a biblical geological disturbance. Scripture records more than one catastrophic geological event that has had a bearing on the earth and thereby the inhabitants connected at the time of the chaos. The two, of course, the two big ones that really come to mind are the one that's recorded there in Genesis, between Genesis chapter 1 and 2, which is referred to as the katabole, the Greek word for overthrow or something that is catastrophic, destruction. And we have, of course, studied that in the past. And the second one, of course, the big one that comes to mind is Noah's flood. And we've looked at that to some degree, each one being a part of God's purpose and plan for the ages. Both are connected in some way or the other to Satan and his evil ways. There are other dramatic events prophesied. And today I want to look at one of these that will occur at the time of Israel's restoration to the land. The prophets have prophesied, and we've looked at a lot of these prophecies that included things with regard to the birth of Christ and also even the prophecies of Christ that have come to be true. Of course, the mark of a real prophet is that he's always right. He's 100%. He never misses. And we will look at one of these prophecies again, and it is again connected with the smiting of the wicked one, as so many of the others are. So I want to look at what is described in Scripture as the invasion of Egypt. So if you will, turn in your Bibles to Ezekiel chapter 30. It's page 1148 in the Companion Bible. Ezekiel chapter 30. We look at a lot of Scripture today, and there's a lot more with regard to this event. But I've tried to choose verses that gives us the essence of what will occur in the future. And you can read some of the rest of it on your own. Ezekiel chapter 30, page 1148. Let's look at verse 1. The word of the Lord came again unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy and say, Thus saith the Lord God, Howl ye woe, worth the day. For the day is near, even the day of the Lord is near, a cloudy day. It shall be the time of the heathen. And the sword shall come upon Egypt, and great pain shall be in Ethiopia, when the slain shall fall in Egypt. And they shall take away her multitude, and her foundations shall be broken down. Ethiopia and Libya and Lydia and all the mingled people and Chub and the men of the land that is in league shall fall with them by the sword. And that in league means those that are connected in some way by treaty. Verse 6, Thus saith the Lord, They also that uphold Egypt shall fall. And the pride of her power shall come down from the tower of Syene. Shall they fall in it by the sword, saith the Lord God. And they shall be desolate in the midst of the countries that are desolate, and all her cities shall be in the midst of the cities that are wasted. And they shall know that I am the Lord, when I have set a fire in Egypt, and when all her helpers shall be destroyed. In that day shall messengers go forth from me in ships to make the careless Ethiopians afraid, and great pain shall come upon them as in the day of Egypt, for lo, it cometh. Thus saith the Lord God, I will cause the multitude of Egypt to cease by the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and he and his people with him. The terrible of the nations shall be brought to destroy the land, and they shall draw their swords against Egypt and fill the land with the slain. And I will make the rivers dry and sell the land into the hand of the wicked, and I will make the land waste and all that is therein by the hand of strangers. I, the Lord, have spoken it. Thus saith the Lord God, I will also destroy the idols, and I will cause their images to cease out of Noph, and there shall be no more a prince of the land of Egypt, and I will put a fear in the land of Egypt, and I will make Phathros desolate, and will set fire in Zoan, and will execute judgment in No, and I will pour out my fury upon Sin, the strength of Egypt, and I will cut off the multitude of No, and I will set fire in Egypt. Sin shall have great pain, and No shall be rent asunder. And Noph will have distresses daily. And the young men of Avon and of Pibeseth shall fall by the sword, and these cities shall go into captivity. At Tapha-Hanes also the day shall be darkened, when I shall break there the yokes of Egypt, and the pomp of their strength shall cease in her. As for her, a cloud shall cover her, and her daughters shall go into captivity. Thus will I execute judgment in Egypt, and they shall know that I am the Lord. And it came to pass in the 11th year, in the first month of the 7th day of the month, that the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, I have broken the arm of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and lo, it shall not be bound up to be healed, to put a roller to bind it, to make it strong, to hold the sword. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and will bring his arms, the strong, and that which was broken, and I will cause the sword to fall out of his hand, and I will scatter the Egyptians among the nations, and will disperse them through the countries, And I will strengthen the arms of the king of Babylon and put my sword in his hand, and I will break the Pharaoh's arms, and he shall groan before him with the groanings of a deadly wounded man. But I will strengthen the arms of the king of Babylon, and the arms of Pharaoh shall fall down, and they shall know that I am the Lord when I shall put my sword into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall stretch it out upon the land of Egypt, and I will scatter the Egyptians among the nations and disperse them among the countries, and they shall know that I am God. There's any question here as to what's going to happen. And you can read more about this in chapters 27 and 28. And it's also prophesied by Isaiah and other prophets. Here we learn from these chapters that at some future time, the countries in the old Babylon, which is Assyria, which includes Lebanon and all the Iraq and Arabia and all of those countries that were a part of the Persian Empire, will take over Egypt. They will invade and utterly dominate Egypt. And I'm assuming that the United Nations will throw a hissy fit, but I don't think there's anything they're going to be able to do about it, because God, for some reason, is putting into the hand of the old Babylon Empire the power to take Egypt completely. And I think probably it has to do with strategic, you know, the Babylon Empire coming down there at the north. They're probably going to take Egypt and be, Israel's going to be totally dominated geographically by Arabia and the nations of Babylon. And what is interesting, and we're going to look at the end results, what appears to be a glorious victory for Babylon turns out to be twofold. One, Egypt will be utterly wasted away. And two, the nations shall know that Christ is Lord. And that was the last statement in that chapter, and they shall know that I am the Lord. That's not just Egypt. That's not just Babylon. When it says, talks about the nations, that's the world shall know that he is Lord. The tables are turned. Egypt is utterly wasted, and all that are in league with them. Palestine shall become a delightsome land and shall blossom as the rose. Now, the invasion of Egypt is not necessarily the destruction of Egypt. You can invade a land and not utterly destroy it, but it will be destroyed and utterly wasted. And I want to read about that. So turn, if you will, in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 11. Page 947. Isaiah chapter 11. Page 947. In that chapter 11, let's start with the 11th verse. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again, the second time, to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria and from Egypt and from Pathros and from Cush and from Elam and from Shinar and from Hamath and from the islands of the sea. And he shall set up an ensign for the nations and shall assemble the outcast of Israel and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. The envy also of Ephraim shall depart, and the adversaries of Judah shall be cut off. Ephraim shall not envy Judah, and Judah shall not vex Ephraim. But they shall fly upon the shoulders of the Philistines towards the west, and they shall spoil them at the east together. They shall lay their hand upon Edom and Moab, and the children of Ammon shall but obey them. Verse 15, and the Lord shall utterly destroy the tongue of the Egyptian sea. and with his mighty wind shall he shake his hand over the river, and shall smite it in the seven streams, and make men go over dryshod. And there shall be a highway for the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria, like as it was to Israel in the day that he came up out of the land of Egypt. So here we're talking about the day of the Lord, yet future. It's a part of his gathering together all the nations of, or all the Israelis from the nations that have been scattered around the world, bringing them back to the promised land. And in this process, it says that he will utterly destroy the tongue of the Egyptian sea. Something that I might point out here too, that it, this verse 15, where it says that, and shall smite it in the seven streams and make men go over roughshod, in the structure, and I'm not going to go over this, but in the structure that compares with verse 4, where it says, he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. That the wicked there is singular, and is the wicked one. So here we see Satan again involved with this catastrophic event that will take place in Egypt. Other places this is referred to, turn over to chapter 19 of Isaiah. And here it refers again to this highway that's made as a result of this event. In chapter 19, verse 1, the burden of Egypt, behold, the Lord rideth upon a swift cloud and shall come into Egypt, and the idols of Egypt shall be moved at his presence, and the heart of Egypt shall melt in the midst of it. And I will set the Egyptians against the Egyptians, and they shall fight every one against his brother and every one against his neighbor, city against city and kingdom against kingdom. And the spirit of Egypt shall fail in the midst thereof, and I will destroy the counsel thereof, and they shall seek to the idols and to the charmers and to them that have familiar spirits and to the wizards. And the Egyptians will I give over to the hand of a cruel lord, and a fierce king shall rule over them, saith the Lord of hosts. And we saw that that's Babylon. And the waters shall fail from the sea, and the river shall be wasted and dried up. Now that is the Nile. And they shall turn the rivers far away, and the brooks of defense shall be emptied and dried up. The reeds and the flags shall wither, and the paper reeds by the brooks, by the mouth of the brooks, and everything sown by the brooks shall wither and be driven away and be no more. And the fishes also shall mourn, and they, and all they that cast angle into the brook shall lament, and they that spread nets upon the waters shall languish. So here we see something catastrophic happening to the rivers. Ezekiel speaks of this also. Turn to Ezekiel chapter 29. It's page 1147. Ezekiel chapter 29. Page 1147. In that 29th chapter, go to verse 8. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will bring a sword upon thee, and cut off man and beast out of thee, and the land of Egypt shall be desolate and waste. And they shall know that I am the Lord, because he hath said, the river is mine, and I have made it. Behold, therefore, I am against thee and against thy rivers, and I will make the land of Egypt utterly waste and desolate, from the tower of Syene even into the border of Ethiopia. No foot of man shall pass through it, nor foot of beast shall pass through it, neither shall it be inhabited 40 years. And I will make the land of Egypt desolate in the midst of the countries that are desolate, and her cities among the cities that are laid waste shall be desolate 40 years. And I will scatter the Egyptians among the nations, and I will disperse them through the countries. I don't think there's any question about what's going to happen at some future point in Egypt. Babylon's going to come down there and take over. And then something unbelievable is going to happen. And this has been prophesied by Isaiah, by Ezekiel, Micah, Moses. We find that reference to this all through the Old Testament. Now, to get a better handle on this, it's kind of important to have some geographical understanding of the area. And so I've made up some crude maps to give us a sense of the area so we can discuss it further. Excuse me, Dave. I missed you. I don't know if you're like me, but lots of times I can visualize and understand things better if I have a good map. Here is a map of the area. You'll notice on the left-hand side of the map is, of course, Egypt. It shows the Nile River in brown, and then the words there pasted under it, "The land shall be utterly wasted," which is the scripture that we just read. And if you'll see there the tongue, what is the tongue of the Egyptian Sea? That's the area that goes off of the Red Sea up into the Suez Canal, which is man-made, which connects that tongue of the Egyptian Sea to the Mediterranean Sea. The Nile River there is the longest river in the world. It stretches through 8 or 9 countries: Zaire, Uganda, Rwanda, Egypt, Ethiopia, Kenya. It starts actually in Uganda at Lake Victoria. It drains all this area for 4,200 miles. The Nile is that long. The word Nile means valley, and it is sometimes, the river is sometimes referred to as the Black River, and the reason for that is because of the sediment that it's brought down over these 4,000 miles for years. When it used to flood, that flood these plains out and made the river bottom very productive for growing agriculture. One of the unbelievable things about the Nile is it flows 680,000 gallons of water per second. I didn't get that wrong. 680,000 gallons of water per second flow down the Nile. It is the lifeblood of Egypt and these other countries. Only about 20% of it is actually in Egypt itself. But apparently the Lord has some plan in mind for the Nile River. It's going to be utterly wasted. Do you think the environmentalists are going to be upset about that? Probably pretty much so. Now, on the map, you'll see there the 7 rivers at the delta. And some think that those 7 rivers in the delta, that's where, as it gets closer to the sea and the land gets flatter, over time the Nile is split out into these 7 different rivers that run into the Mediterranean Sea. And there's some who say that that is the reference to here in Isaiah 11:15, where he'll smite it into 7 rivers. But I don't think that's the case based on what I have understood from some of the scholars. In that verse in Isaiah 11:15, and in Scripture elsewhere, the river, when the term the river is stated, it always refers to the Euphrates. And in this verse, it uses a different Hebrew word, which in essence, I think, does refer to the Euphrates. So probably this spreading of the Nile is not in reference to that smiting into seven different seas, and we'll, or seven different rivers, and we'll look at that here in a minute. It probably refers to the Euphrates River. Probably the area, this Nile, for some reason, through a catastrophic event, be it earthquake or whatever, is probably going to raise, the land is going to slightly raise, and at that point, the water will no longer flow down through Egypt. Now, you've noticed there on the map, the old riverbed where the Nile used to flow, I don't know if that comes into play or not. All I know is that Egypt and some of these countries are going to be dried up based on Scripture. And you see there where there's an arrow that goes from Migdol, which means tower, and Syene at the bottom. Those places are still there. Scripture refers to them. And that's going to be the area that's going to be utterly destroyed and wasted. And that includes, by the way, man's made Suez Canal. And it includes the tongue of Egypt, and we read about that. It's going to dry up. You could walk across it dry shod. So, with this, the stage then is set for what Scripture describes as a new thing. Turn now in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 43. It's on page 985. Isaiah chapter 43. And we're reading a lot of Scripture today, but I've cut it down as short as I can without going through chapters and chapters and chapters. Isaiah chapter 43, we find a new thing. Verse 1, "But now saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. And when thou pass through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. And when thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore, I will give men for thee and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Even every one that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. Bring forth the blind people that have eyes and the deaf that have ears. Let all the nations be gathered together and let the people be assembled. And among them can declare this. Who among them can declare this and show us former things? Let them bring forth their witnesses that they may be justified, or let them hear and say, it is truth. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, and ye may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, and neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. I have declared and have saved, and I have showed when there was no strange God among you. Therefore ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. Yea, before the day was, I am he, and there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who shall let it? Thus saith the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, For your sake I have sent to Babylon and have brought down all their nobles and their Chaldeans whose cry is in the ships. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus saith the Lord, which maketh a way in the sea and a path in the mighty waters, which bringeth forth the chariot and horse, the army and the power. They shall lie down together and shall not rise. They shall extinct. They are quenched as tow. Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. And the beasts of the field shall honor me, the dragons and the owls, because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen. And this people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. So here he says, I'm going to do a new thing. Chapter 11 of Isaiah. Actually, the new thing is a restoration of Israel. The restoration of the land. Egypt being destroyed. Palestine being made new. Chapter 11. They shall not destroy in my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. As the waters cover the sea? What a strange statement is that. Waters usually cover the land. What is being talked about here? The waters covering the sea. Well, the difficulty disappears if we regard these words as literal and realize that what's being spoken of here is the sea, all right. It's the Dead Sea. Now, if you look on the map, see up there where that yellow area is? And right there at the end of that yellow line from Jerusalem over to Azal. Azal, and there's a note on the map there down to the right. Azal is 1,300 feet above the Dead Sea. Now the Dead Sea is to the east of Jerusalem. Azal is to the west. So if you look at the fact that the waters cover the sea, the reference is to the Dead Sea. Now turn, and by the way, that yellow that I've put on the map, that's a caution, because there is going to be something terrific, according to prophecy. Turn to Zechariah chapter 14. I didn't give you the page number, did I? It's because I didn't write it down. Page 1294 in the Companion Bible. Zechariah chapter 14. Verse 1, Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee, for I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. And then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle, and his feet shall stand in the day upon the Mount of Olive, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olive shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and towards the west, and there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove toward the north, and half of it towards the south. And ye shall flee to the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach into Azal, which we saw on the map. Yea, ye shall flee like as ye fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. And the Lord my God shall come, and all the saints with thee. And it shall come to pass in that day that the light shall not be clear nor dark, but it shall be one day which shall be known to the Lord, not day nor night, but it shall come to pass that at evening time it shall be light. And it shall be in that day that living waters shall go out from Jerusalem, half of them towards the former sea, that would be half towards Azal on the map, and half of them towards the hinder sea, in summer and in winter shall it be. So the living waters that are going to come out from the deep are going to flow in two different directions on the yellow line that I show there, half going to the Mediterranean Sea, the other half going to the Dead Sea. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth, and that day shall there be one Lord, and his name one. All the earth shall be turned as a plain from Geba to Rimmon, and south of Jerusalem, and it shall be lifted up and inhabited in her place from the Benjamin's gate into the place of the first gate, and to the corner from the door of Haniel unto the king's dwell in it, and there shall be no more utter destruction, but Jerusalem shall be safely inhabited. Now, on the map, you see Rimmon and all of that area into the Sinai Peninsula that is desert. It says that that's going to bloom as the rose. But here is a geographical event with a mountain cleaving because the Lord comes, and it cleaves one way and the other way, and out comes this water that flows to the Mediterranean Sea and flows to the Dead Sea, and so we have the waters covering the sea. These are definite statements that cannot be explained away. East, west, north, and south, geographic points. They locate places in history and places that are still there, shown on this map. Now, Ezekiel speaks of this event. Turn to Ezekiel chapter 47. Ezekiel chapter 47. Page 1175. Ezekiel chapter 47, page 1175. And here we see some additional information about this. Verse 1, after he brought me again into the door of the house, and behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward. For the front of the household stood toward the east, and the waters came down from under the right side of the house, the south side of the altar. Then brought he me out of the way of the gate northward, and led me about the way without unto the utter gate by the way that looketh eastward. And behold, there ran out waters on the right side, and when the man that had the line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters, and the waters were to the ankles. And again he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters, and the waters were to the knees. And again he measured 1,000 and brought me through, and the waters were to the loins. And afterward he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass over, for the waters were risen, waters to swim in, a river that could not be passed over. And he said unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen this? And then he brought me and caused me to return to the brink of the river. Now when I had returned, behold, at the bank of the river were very many trees on one side and on the other. Then said he unto me, these waters issue out towards the east country and go down into the desert and go to the sea, which being brought forth into the sea, the waters shall be healed. And it shall come to pass that everything that liveth, which moveth, whithersoever the river shall come, shall live, and there shall be a great multitude of fish, because these waters shall come thither, for they shall be healed, and everything shall live whether the river cometh. And it shall come to pass that the fishers shall stand upon it from Engedi, even unto Engedium. They shall be a place to spread forth nets. Their fish shall be according to their kind as the fish of the great sea, exceeding many. But the miry places thereof and the marshes thereof shall not be healed. They shall be given to salt. So here's reference again to these waters that are going to flow east and west out of Jerusalem, the cleaving of the Mount of Olives, forming a river that cannot be, it could swim in, but can't pass over, probably without a boat or something. And we see here on this map, there's no question that it's the Dead Sea, because Engedi is located there on the bank of the current Dead Sea. So when the waters apparently are going to be abundant, that break forth from the deep and flow and cover and raise the Dead Sea, and the salt water is going to probably mix with this fresh water, and once it gets to a certain level, it will flow into the old Jordan Valley, which you see there represented in green on the map. And that's how the desert will bloom. That living waters will flow back down through the old Jordan Valley and into the Red Sea. But everything over on the other side is laid waste. The Nile's no longer a viable source of water or life. It all switches over to Palestine, which today is a lot of desert, but it's going to bloom as the rose as a result of the second coming of Christ. Additional scripture evidence is found in the book of Micah. Turn to page 1253. Micah chapter 1. Micah chapter 1, verse 3. For behold, the Lord cometh forth out of his place and will come down and tread upon the high places of the earth. And the mountains shall be molten under him, and the valleys shall be cleft as wax before the fire, and as the waters that are poured down a steep place. So here we see more reference to these waters that shall flow. We find additional evidence in Joel chapter 3, page 1230. Joel chapter 3, verse 18. And it shall come to pass in that day that the mountains shall drop down new wine, and the hills shall flow with milk, and all the rivers of Judah shall flow with waters, and a fountain shall come forth of the house of the Lord, and shall water the valley of Shittim. And that today is desert. So in conclusion, here is another, what I describe as a pretty catastrophic event when this occurs, and it will occur. All the prophecies of Scripture that we've seen prophesied by these guys in the Old Testament has taken place. This one, I'm sure, will be just as accurate and will take place in due time, actually in the day of the Lord. The words of the psalmist, I think, now make more literal sense. If you go back and look at it, some of the verses that we saw last week with regard to another lesson, turn back to the book of Psalms, chapter 46. It was interesting to me to hear what Stephanie had to say. She went to a church out there where she has just moved with Jason. And the pastor there had encouraged them to go back and read all of the New Testament. And she said, you know, I really hadn't done that, and to go through and just read it from front to back. And she said, what I was amazed at is that as I read, I totally comprehended and understood what was going on. And never had I ever been able to understand that before I got to the point of right division of the Scripture. And so she was pretty excited about that. And I think that's true as we gather more and more information and we look back, we see verses that have bearing on where we are currently studying, but before we didn't even think about it. And I think that is the case here in Psalms chapter 46, verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, through the waters thereof roar, and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. And then it says Selah, and that Selah means stop and think on that. Stop a minute. That's what Selah means. Hope, wait. Think what I just read. Well, I think that has some reference to probably the event that we're speaking of. He goes on, there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. I believe probably this passage is having some reference to, can you imagine the water, the torrent that would take place, the noise and the sound of this water coming out of this mountain in these quantities, a river falling 1,300 feet to the Dead Sea, the roaring of that water, the moving of the mountains, ultimately probably becoming peaceful. And that's how they're described, the river of peaceful living waters that flow as a result of the return of our Savior Christ Jesus and the gathering of his people to the land. Now, you hear today from Zionists and people who I don't think understand their scripture saying that, oh, well, the Jews and the are coming back to Palestine, they're moving back. Well, that's true to some degree, but it's not true like this. When this event occurs, that's when the nation of Israel will truly have a highway back to their promised land, back to Palestine, and there's nobody going to stand in the way.